Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to lift up those that are hurting, God. Ones that are being attacked, ones that are going through hard times, ones that are trying to get here, Lord. Just be with them. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the word tonight, God, that my words would be few, Lord, and your words would be many. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. I guess there's some big football game tonight. Rose Bowl. Reminds me of that song that we sing. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. And we sing that about Jesus. And that's an awesome song. Before we get started, I want to tell you guys a little bit of a story. Something that happened a few weeks back. I want to give you a little background on it, not to bore you to tears, but just to kind of show you how something you already know, and that's that God, the Lord really wants such a personal communion with us at all times. And he's so interested in every little part of our lives. And it's wonderful to remember that and to be reminded of that fact. And he's just so sweet and so gentle and so loving in the way that he reminds us of that. I like to kind of blame my wife, but she needed braces, so I sold a boat motor to pay for it. But, you know, there were some other factors. The thing wasn't running too well, and I wanted to get rid of it anyway. So some guys came out. They knew what they were doing. They looked at it. They gave us a really good price for it. I mean, these guys were full-fledged mechanics. They checked it out. They did a full analysis. Hey, they were happy with it. It was a good deal. It was fair. It was above board. So praise God for that. It left us with a boat without a motor. So we just said, we'll just leave that up to God, and we're not going to sweat that. And praise God, my wife's got braces. So found a smoking deal on the internet for a boat with the motor. And this motor was an exact replacement for the one that I sold, except it was 14 years newer, a lot nicer. And it would turn out to be a lot cheaper than we sold that motor for. So we just prayed about it and contacted them and pretty much had a deal going. The only catch was the boat was way out in Page, Arizona, which is kind of by the border of Utah, where Kanab, Utah and Page, Arizona, Lake Powell area is. And so that was the catch, is that we'd have to go out there and get. The other catch is that we'd have to sell the boat and the trailer, which proved to be not a big deal. So anyhow, that was the thing there. So I grabbed a couple buddies of mine, Junior Banda and Danny T, and we hopped in a truck and we drove up there and kind of ignored the little Yahoo Maps thing, ignored how long it would take to get there. It ended up being about, what was it, honey, about 18 hours of driving in one day, round trip. The funny thing is, before we got started, we showed up at my work and we were going to use the company truck, which I already cleared with the boss and everything, but something funny happened. The truck was missing. And so we just said, you know what? I don't know what happened. Maybe it got stolen. We're just going to, let's go to Jack in the Box and we'll just have breakfast and we'll just praise God and we'll read the proverb for the day and we'll just have some sweet fellowship. And we spent a few hours and had a great time in the Word and in fellowship. And we just went back to work and I called the one of the owners of the corporation. Ended up that he used it for some personal stuff and he didn't know I was going to use it and he apologized, and so it kind of set us back a few hours. So by the time we got up to Page, it was like 4 or 5 p.m. and the guy that was going to sell us the boat left and the deal kind of fell through and we had to turn around and come all that way back down. And we were singing praise songs the whole way, and we had the greatest time in the Word that morning. We didn't really mind. You know, we had a great time of fellowship, and it was okay with us. Minnie was a little bit upset, and thinking about it, I started to get a little upset, but we just resisted the temptation. You know what? For some weird reason, God allowed this to happen. And as it turned out, the guy selling the boat apologized, and he actually reimbursed me for some of the travel expenses and invited me to come back out and get it, and knocked a chunk of the money off of it. So we went back out there again. This time it was just Danny T and I, and we were to spend the night out there, drive up, spend the night, and then come back down. So we were looking around for somewhere to fellowship on Sunday, because we didn't want to miss that that time. So we looked around online at the Calvary Chapel website, and there weren't any Calvary Chapels, we noticed, from Flagstaff, Arizona, all the way up to the border. There just weren't any, and there really aren't any large cities between those two points. It's pretty much out in Navajo land out there. And so we just said, you know what, we'll submit a prayer request. So I found a Calvary Chapel Prescott online, and I put in a prayer request, and I asked for three things. I asked for traveling mercies, I asked for a place to fellowship on Sunday, and then I also asked that God would use us on the trip. And I'm not going to spill the beans, but basically the Lord answered all three things. And it was just, it's such an encouragement. I want to encourage all of you, pray often. Pray often. I know you do, because this is a praying church, and this is a thriving place because of that. Praise God. And I just want to encourage you again, exhort you again. Put those prayer requests in. They're out there in the lobby. They're online. You can put in prayer requests. And it's a really wonderful, wonderful thing. They get prayed for several times. So it's a wonderful thing. So what we did was, Danny and I, we drove up to the Grand Canyon on day one and just had the most awesome time. It was just such a beautiful place, and we had a great time in the Word. We had a tailgate. We had cold cuts. And on the way out, we went across on the 64. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, that little road. But we saw this little trading post on the side of the road, and Danny and I thought, hey, let's get our wives some gifts, you know? So we pulled over, and we met this little family that was there, and it was a lady and her two daughters. And we were talking, a little small talk, and then I asked the lady, they look kind of thirsty. They look like they were hungry and thirsty, and I asked them how long they'd been there, and they'd been there all the morning. So I asked the lady if she wanted some water, because we had a big old jug of water. And she made a joke and said, what are you, the water man? And actually, I said, you know what, actually I am. And she was like, really? I don't see like a sparklet sticker on the truck or anything. And I said, actually, my job is to introduce people to the source of the living water. And she was like, she looked at me like I was, she's very curious. She went from being like joking around to being very serious. She's like, well, what town is that from? Is that from around here somewhere? And I, you guys already know what happened, don't you? I told her, well, you know what? It really is not of this earth at all. It's supernatural. And she's like, really? What do you mean? And I told her, Jesus said, if anybody believes in me, out of his innermost being or out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And her daughter, she was about 13 or 14, she just jumped up and down and said, I'm saved. I have accepted Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. And Danny and I gave her a high five, and the mother and the other daughter weren't, you know, they were looking at her like she was nuts. But she was saved. She was powerfully saved, and she was standing up for Jesus. So she asked Danny what kind of worship songs we sang, and you know what happened after that. We ended up singing some songs, and we basically sang praise songs for about an hour. And it was awesome. By the time we left, everybody was singing. The mother was singing, the other girl was singing, and the mother was even saying, hey, I remember this one from my Sunday school days. And she said, you know, this little light of mine. And we were singing. It was time to go, and Danny and I were just blessed. And but at the same time, we were kind of touched in our hearts that there's a lot of unsaved people out there, yet there's people coming to the Lord out there. Even though there aren't any Calvary Chapels out there, the Lord's pouring His Spirit out there, and he's doing some stuff. So we began to pray for the people out there, and went up to Page, picked up the boat early in the morning, came back down, and we were looking for some churches to fellowship at on a Sunday morning, and we didn't really find any that were open. They're just closed. It was just way too early in the morning, so Danny and I just threw up an arrow prayer and just said, you know what, God, we're just going to go with you, we're going to trust you, and we're just going to flow with you and see what happens. And a couple hours down the road, we're on the 89 coming down toward Flagstaff, and we were just outside of Cameron, and he spotted a little tiny church. I'm talking tiny. It's probably an eighth the size of this sanctuary, their sanctuary is. And there was a little truck outside, and we pulled up and asked them when church was, and it started in 7 minutes. So isn't that a wonderful little thing from the Lord? And next thing we knew, one of the elders came out and gave us a big hug and invited us in, and it was sweet. He introduced us to some of the congregants, actually all of them, and just about every single one of them gave us the biggest hug. It was just wonderful to experience the spirit of unity and the bond of peace, which is written about in Ephesians chapter 4. And you know, it's just the body of Christ, the love of Jesus, Jesus living inside of all of us. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be so far from home and meeting people that you've never seen in your life, and to have that unity there is just a wonderful thing. And this place is way outside of our bubble. So Danny and I were just hanging on to our Bibles. All these guys knew us, that we were carrying our Bibles. We were from Calvary Chapel, Anaheim, and we had a big smile on our face, and we were ready to hear God's Word. And they started church, and believe it or not, they call their church their Sunday school. And it lasts about 2 or 3 hours. They have a couple of messages, and it was a blessed time. One of the funniest things that happened was the first pastor that came up there to speak, his name was the name of the street that I grew up on. And when he went to speak, he was explaining, giving a little commentary on Romans, and he explained that it was a type of an analyzer. And it was kind of like a computer system with these little sensors that measure the vibration on machinery and give you an analysis report. And he was looking around and he looked right at me. He had no idea, but God was giving him a word of wisdom about what I do at work and in explaining the book of Romans to the people in the congregation. But you know what? That shouldn't surprise us, because that's just the Lord. God is just way, way, like Pastor Mark says, I got this, the distance between this ear and this ear, and my understanding is so small and he's so huge. But it was just a really awesome blessing. And after the service, Danny and I got to talk with the elders and the pastors and kind of share with them what we saw the day before and how we were able to minister to a family, and we were praising God together, and that we've seen the needs that they see themselves. And it was fortunate. It was really good timing. One of the regional pastors in the area was actually visiting at the church and giving a report. And he was telling everybody about all the people that are getting saved out there, all the Navajos. And there's a lot of people coming to Christ, but they need a lot of help too. And one of the other brothers, an elder, went up there and talked, and he asked for quite a bit of prayer. He wasn't shy about it at all. And he was just sharing that there's so much to be done out there and there's so little help. And there's people coming to Jesus Christ all the time. And they had a Christmas party coming up, and he had a little prayer list. He said, all right, well, this is what we need. We're getting ready for this Christmas party coming up. We need peanuts. We need candies. We need tangerines. And we need other fruit. Somebody's already bringing mutton, but we need those four things. And they were asking the people to pray for those things, and that God would provide those things. And it just happened to be that Minnie packed us a bag of tangerines, so we were able to give that. And these guys were just praising God, and their list is so small and so simple. And when they get, you know, when people give these little things, they just get so excited, because they're just seeing the Lord stirring up in people's hearts to give and to be involved with what they're doing. Anyhow, we prayed with those guys, and they were real fervent about praying for that Christmas gathering, that outreach out there on the Navajo Reservation. And I just talked to Pastor Nelson the other day, and he told me that that night, 16 people rededicated their lives to Jesus Christ. And four people who had been lost their whole lives accepted Jesus Christ on that night. And the Lord, amen, praise God. So God answered our prayers. He's doing some neat stuff out there. And it was just such a sweet time of fellowship. It was just the Lord that set that up. It was an accident, quote unquote, but it was just the Lord. And these guys, I asked them for their business card or whatever. They want us to, you know, they wanted to invite us to come back, and they didn't have any business cards or any flyers or any bulletins or anything like that. So they just wrote it on some notepaper, and they gave us their information. And Danny and I have been in contact with them. They want us to come back this summer, and they want us to bring our families, and they want to see as many of you from Calvary Chapel Anaheim as possible. And there's a few things they need. They need to repair the roof on their gymnasium, and they need help teaching their kids. There's nobody to teach the youth and the kids out there right now. There's lots of kids that come and they just go home because there's nobody to teach them. And it's so sad because these kids are just wanting to hang out with Jesus. They just want to learn about the Lord, and there's just not enough people there to help them out. So this summer, stay tuned here. This summer we're going to have an opportunity to get out there. And I really believe by faith that the Lord's going to open up that door. He's already provided the Jesus film that we could bring out there in a projector, and they want to see that. So they want to see us. They want us to bring that film, and they're excited about what the Lord's doing. And one of their elders, Walter Reed, he spoke by faith. He spoke prophecy, and he said, you know what? The Lord's going to use you guys. He's going to do some awesome things here. He's going to use your congregation. The Lord's going to continue to pour out His Spirit, and these people are going to keep getting saved out here, and you guys are going to be part of that work. So I believe he's right. And the thing that just excited me, just thrilled my socks off, is I told Marvin about this. And it ended up being that Marvin had been praying for those folks for 40 years. And it's been on his heart. And it looks like the Lord's going to give him an opportunity, Lord willing, this summer, if the Lord waits. You know, if the Lord waits, because he's coming back. But if he waits, it's going to be an exciting summer. Marvin's going to be able to meet these brothers and sisters that he's been praying for 40 years, and he's going to be able to shake their hand and minister to them. And I want to be there when that happens. That's going to be awesome. So anyhow, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4. But before we go ahead and read, I want to explain a few things about what's going on out there. With the Navajos, and amen. Do you have a like a little napkin or something? Oh wait, here's some. Sorry about that. Nose decided to bleed. Lord, come against that in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, help me. There's a Bible college out there called the Indian Bible College, and several of the pastors and the elders at the Gray Mountain Bible Church are actually leaders at that Bible college. And them and some other pastors out there have banded together and have joined forces to come against some of the evil stuff that's going on out there. Excuse me. But there's some critical issues facing the Native Christian Church today. And one of them is the effort to revive and adapt and utilize Native cultural forms of worship in the church. And there's some native religious traditionalism, and there's some things that are just basically from Satan. There's things like the peyote movement, and you guys know what that is? Basically, there's a narcotic called peyote, and these folks believe that by taking that narcotic, you receive visions from God, and he gives you a vision for your life and some direction, and that's of Satan. That's just plain and simple. And that's kind of seeping in there into the Native church today. We need to, pray for those guys. There's the influx of the New Age philosophy. That's not cool either. And there's some questions concerning Native spirituality and biblical truth. And these guys here, as Native believers in Christ, from a score of tribes and from hundreds of combined years of experience in tribal ministry, have gathered together to speak with one voice on these subjects to the body of Christ at large, basing the responses on the clear statements revealed in the Word of God. So these brothers are just looking to the Word of God, and that's where they're getting their answers from, and that's where they're getting their information. So praise God for that. So they believe, number one, that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a personal, eternal God and pre-exists all of creation. God is both the creator and the reason for all creation, including the heavens and the earth, plant life, animal life, and man. And life originated from God, who is our true heavenly Father, not from earth as our mother. There's a, I don't know if you've heard that term before, but there's that whole Mother Earth thing, that's out, that's wrong. We'll talk about that a little bit more here. Number two, Christ should have preeminence and permeates all aspects of our lives through us, all aspects of our cultures, to promote the glory of God. Glory to God. God will not share his glory with anything in creation. To do so is idolatry. To combine elements of Native religion and biblical truth is syncretism, which is kind of a fancy theological word that I'll explain in a second. We must renounce and avoid any form of idolatry and syncretism because they are forbidden in Scripture. And if anybody wants the backup, I got tons of scriptural backup that these brothers provided right here. Now, I'm going to give you one case in point about that syncretism thing, but basically, one case in point is this. Looking at point number one, life originated from God, who is our true heavenly Father, not from earth as our mother. There's this goddess called Tonantzin, and what happened was, when, not bagging on the Catholics, but when those missionaries came over, they told the Aztecs, hey, what you guys are worshiping, Tonantzin, that's actually the Virgin Mary. And it's sad to say, but I have relatives to this day that basically make pilgrimages out to whatever that place is in northern Mexico to go see the Virgin of Guadalupe and all that stuff. And it's bogus. It's just wrong. So that's just a lie, and that's one of those lies that I wanted to expose here by reading this. Three, we believe our salvation is in the finished work of Christ, and that we cannot add anything to the work to improve our relationship with God. As believers, we should not therefore use or attach any spiritual values to items regarded as sacred, such as tobacco, cedar smoke, sweet grass, peyote, prayer feathers, fetishes, mass drums, dances, to places regarded as sacred, such as quote-unquote Mother Earth, kivas, mountains, sweat lodges, longhouses, or other traditional religious places of worship, or to spirit beings such as kachinas, skinwalkers, animals, and true and nature spirits, etc. Four, we believe that Christ has always been and always will be the one and only moderator between God and man. Man is totally helpless to reach God through any traditional spiritual efforts such as native ceremonies, rituals, and forms of worship. That's out. So you can imagine some of the fire these guys take from their community members. Because this goes against a lot of the traditional stuff. But these guys are standing up for Jesus Christ out there. Number five, we're redeemed and purified only through the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. Therefore, we should not teach that a native can be purified by any other means like smoke, sweat, smudging, blood sacrifice, etc. To do so is to substitute or add native rituals and ceremonies to the finished work of Jesus Christ. That stuff's out. Six, Christ set us free, and the liberty we have in Christ should not be used as a license to introduce anything from native traditional ways that would hinder our lives in Christ, that would offend any of our fellow believers, or that would hinder our witness to unbelievers. That stuff's out. Number seven, that's the final one. Christ reigns supreme above all cultures. When Christ redeems and transforms us through faith and obedience to his word, then Christ will transform our culture through us. We believe that Christ only redeems people by his blood. Wow, speaking of blood, this thing is really going. Wow, Lord wanted to illustrate something, I guess. Excuse me. The Bible does not teach redemption of a culture. At the same time, we affirm that there are many good traditions within the native cultures which enhance the lives of both Christians and non-Christians. Such traditions include respect for elders, love for children, sharing with others, entertaining strangers, considering others before yourself, honoring the accomplishments of others. These are all outstanding examples of the scriptural law of love and are to be encouraged. But all that other stuff is out. And I want to really praise God for these guys. Thank God for these guys. Glory to God. But these guys are standing up for the true and living God of the Bible and not this traditional stuff that's seeped in, and a lot of that's from Satan. So I just want to give you guys a little bit of a look into what's going on out there. And these guys are standing up for Jesus, and people are getting saved right now. And I want you guys to continue to pray for those folks out there at the Gray Mountain Bible Church and in the Navajo Reservation. A lot of neat stuff going on out there. And you guys, Lord willing, are all going to have an opportunity to join into that work and to go for it and to be used by the Lord to do some ministry out there. So let's just pray for that. Lord God, I just thank you, God, that you just gave Danny and I the opportunity to go out there, and what may seem like an accident or a coincidence, I believe with a divine appointment, God. And I just pray that you just continue to move, Lord, that your spirit would just draw those people to you. And what's considered a burned out mission field is not, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to do the things that are impossible for men. And I just pray that you just continue to save people in our families, Lord, in our communities, in this area, and even beyond out there, God. So we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are really patient with me on this. I didn't plan to have my nose bleeding up here, but reminding me of the blood of Christ. So praise God for that. Nehemiah chapter 4. I want to show you guys something here. And I believe that the Lord gave me a vision. He showed me something. And I want to share it with you because it's really exciting. Very exciting. Nehemiah chapter 4 speaks about when these folks were to rise up and build, to rebuild. Oops, excuse me. Oh, my goodness. Oops. Sorry about that. To rise up and build. If you look at chapter 3, let's see, where was it? Yeah, anyway. So this brother basically surveyed the land and saw that the gate was just, and not only the gates, but the whole wall around Jerusalem was destroyed. And it was heartbreaking to him. Oh, man. So he spoke to the leaders, and they said, let us rise up and build. So basically, they did just that. And in chapter 4, it says, but so it happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Basically, he's just making a joke out of these guys. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of the rubbish? Stones that are burned. Totally ridiculing these guys. What does this show us? When we choose to rise up and build, to do God's work, no matter what it is, there's going to be opposition. And sometimes when you go up, maybe there will come a time when you're asked to speak in front of a group, and your nose might start bleeding uncontrollably. Like what's happening to me. But you know what? It's not for long. This life's like a vapor. Next thing we know, we'll be snatched up out of here. But for now, we just keep hammering away, right? In John 15, 18 through 21, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And that's talking about these guys that are lost, that are just mocking. It's also talking about Satan himself. He wants to destroy all of you guys. Wants to destroy your marriages. Wants to destroy your families. He wants to destroy you. So, that's what we see here in Scripture. Verse 4 through 12 says, hear, O God, for we're despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. God help us to have a mind to work. Thanks. Okay, thanks. It's a blessing to have a wife. Praise God. Thanks, hon. So the people had a mind to work. God help us to have a mind to work. You know, sometimes our jobs can seem mundane or tiring, and sometimes even dangerous. You know that construction work's dangerous. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And even in our lives today, in our workplace today, it can be dangerous. In fact, when I was working at EPE, one guy actually wanted to kill me. And when they asked him why, he just couldn't explain it. And I barely even talked to this guy. The only thing he knew about me was that I showed up about 15 or 20 minutes early every day to pray before I started working. That's pretty much the only thing the guy knew about me. So that's kind of like, you know, what we see here. It's dangerous work and there's enemies out there. It's just the way it is. So verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry and all of them conspired to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. The enemy wants to confuse us. We stay in the Word of God, like our Navajo brothers that are looking to the Word of God. They're forgetting the traditions. They're forgetting all this other stuff. They're just looking to the Word of God. What does God want us to do? What is He teaching us? And that's what we do. And that's how we can fight that confusion that wants to come in. We look to the Word of God. It's clear. It's simple. It's beautiful. He gives us perfect direction every time. Jesus is always the answer. So they wanted to create confusion. So these guys are trying to work. They're just trying to do their own job. And this is a really good little nugget. I'm going to give you a little nugget, scriptural nugget. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 and 12. This is a really good New Year's goal for all of you. You guys want a good biblical New Year's goal? Here's one. Aspire to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly to those who are on the outside, and that you may lack nothing. God wants to bless you. God wants you to lack nothing. God wants you to have everything you need this year. So aspire to lead a quiet life. Work with your own hands. Mind your own business. That glorifies God. So these people here were trying to create confusion, the enemy. And what happens? Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. Thanks. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. God, help us to set a watch against the enemy day and night. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our wives day and night. Guys, I want to exhort you, if your wife's coughing or something's going on at night, you wake up, take that chance to pray for them. Take that opportunity to pray for your kids, to pray for your wife. Don't get upset because you're missing sleep. Let it work good. Let it work out for your good and pray for them. We need to set a watch day and night. Because like I said, Satan's trying to destroy all of us. He sees us trying to rise up and build. He sees us trying to follow God's word and not the traditions of man. And he hates that. He doesn't like that at all. He wants to destroy us. As we do this work, it gets tiring. It gets difficult. But we need to lay aside, like it says in Hebrews 12, every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. We need to run that race with endurance. And how do we find the strength to keep going in that endurance race? Looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to Jesus Christ, we get that second wind. We keep on jamming with the Lord. And we're not sprinting. He's not asking us to sprint. I love that. I forget the name of that book that my wife's reading. But she's reading this book, and it basically speaks about this person that's carrying a wagon. The Lord asks this person, okay, you take this bag of rocks, take it up to that hill. And this person's dragging this thing, and oh, this thing's light, Lord. I know. This is what I've given you. And that person, that lady, walks by some friends. Hey, can you take this 50-pound sack of beans up there to that hill? You're going up there, right? Next buddy walks up. Hey, can you take this 50-gallon jug of water? Yeah, I can still pull that thing. Next thing you know, you're halfway up the hill gnashing your teeth. This is too heavy, Lord. What are you doing? And he's like, hey, the only thing I asked you to take up was that little tiny load of rocks. You're the one that's taking all this other stuff. We need to pace ourselves. We need to do what God asks us to do. We need to do exactly what He asks us to do. And we can't add to that. We just need to ask the Lord. We need to stay in His Word. We need to get tuned into what He wants for us. And we need to be there and to do, obey Him. When He asks us to do something, we do it. We don't add anything to it. We don't add the burdens. The commands of the Lord are not grievous. It's not a drag to follow the Lord. If it is, we're probably doing something wrong. He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He has a reasonable amount of work for us to do. and it's a blessing, and it's exciting. When you drive out somewhere, you think you're just buying a boat. Next thing you know, you're witnessing to people, you're praising God, you're seeing people come to the Lord, and you're coming back with invitations to come out and minister to some people that very few people have a chance to talk to because they're so unreceptive. But the Lord's just blowing it wide open. Why? Because we just simply look and see what the Lord's doing for us. It's exciting following the Lord. There's a lot of exciting stuff to do. I'm really looking forward to Jesus coming, but at the same time, it's just so awesome just to live out your days seeing people come into Jesus Christ, seeing your kids singing praise songs, just witnessing to people and seeing some awesome stuff happening. Things that people out in the world consider accidents or coincidences, but it's just the Lord working and it's exciting. So I just pray that you guys catch that. All right. Let's see here. Verse 10. Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall." Before these guys could actually build that wall, they needed to get down to the foundation. This thing had been just destroyed. Burned, garbage, junk. Who knows what kind of garbage was on that pile of rubbish. But they needed to get it out of the way to expose the foundation. And it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11. "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We build our lives on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We're not looking for some new foundation. No, it's already been laid. It's already there. We just need to get the rubbish out. We need to let the Lord take away those things, take away those sins that snare us. And we need to take off those weights. We need to remember that we put off the old man. We don't put those weights back on. He doesn't ask us to do that. It's kind of, I love that illustration that Pastor Mark gave one time. He said, you know, before you came to Christ, you were like a prisoner. You're strapped to the wall. You're just locked up right there. That's all you know. You can't go anywhere. You're just stuck. And he sets you free. Oh, praise God, I'm free. You've been set free. You've been redeemed. You've been paid. Don't go back up here. Don't go back there and do that. Go back up to the wall. Put your hands back in the locks or whatever those things are. No way. It's already done. You don't need to go back there. So praise God for that. That's a wonderful illustration. Let's look at verse 13 through 18 here. I'm sorry, I'll look at 12. "So it was when the Jews who dwelt near there came, they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they'll be upon us." They're getting overwhelmed with these enemies. "Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall and at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." I really believe that God did this. He set them according to their families, it says. I set the people according to their families. I think he did that. My personal belief is he did that because he wanted us to remember or be able to recognize who is on our side and who's not. And we're all in the family of God. And we're all working together, all of us. We're all working together like a family because we are the family of God. I know you guys. You guys are in my family. And that's the way he has it set up. He has congregations set up. He has families, and then he has also physical blood families too. But we're all set up in families, and we need to remember the enemy is not our wife or our unsaved relatives. The enemy is never those people. God desires that no one should perish, but all should come to repentance. Those aren't the enemy. Satan is the enemy. We need to come against him. We need to pray and ask the Lord to kick him out. We need to be gentle and loving to those around us. We need to pray. And it's really embarrassing, but it's something the Lord showed me. Pastor Mark and Sherry, Minnie and I were talking to them sometime back, a couple months back, and I got this email, and it came across really strange. And it was talking about some confirmation and some things, and it's just kind of hard to explain, but I took it the wrong way, and I was like, I can't believe you would write that to me. And Minnie. So we talked to Pastor Mark and Sherry, and Minnie and I just said, you know what? Let's just pray about this. Let's just talk to them. And we talked to them the next day and said, hey, you know what? When you wrote this, it made us feel like this. And it hurts. And Pastor Mark goes, Randy, I was talking about something else that Minnie and I talked about when you were out of town. And I was like, oh, I am so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. It was just a total misunderstanding. And he was actually blessed that I came to him and asked him about that. And it ended up being a blessing. But, however, it was very, very embarrassing to me because I misunderstood it and I took it the wrong way. And it was just, I was way out in left field. So, anyhow, I don't know why I just shared that with you, but... We need to remember, the enemy is never our neighbors. It's never the people around us. Satan's the enemy. Satan wants to come in here and create confusion, just like what was said in verse 8. He wants me to be confused about something Pastor Mark said and to be angry with him. But that's Satan. Pastor Mark loves you guys a lot. Jesus speaks through him. It's a blessing. Okay, so... Verse 15, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction. Praise God, it's biblical. Any of you guys that work in construction? Right on. You guys are in a good business. While the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So, we can have our sword by our side as we continue to work. And here's how we can do it. We can do it three ways. Read and study your Bibles. Memorize scriptures. Hide it in your heart. Apply it in your daily life. That's how you have that sword beside you. Your sword of the Spirit. Right here. And as you're doing that work, you got your sword with you. Awesome. Praise God for that. 19 through 20. Let's go ahead and look here. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we're separated far from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. It's not all about us. We focus on Jesus. How many times have you heard that? Hundreds of times. But it's not all about us. We focus on Jesus Christ. God's the one doing the fighting. We think we're out there doing all this and that and we have our sword. We're probably, to Jesus, we probably look like the kid that's pushing that lawnmower and it's just making bubbles. We're just blowing bubbles. You know, I mean, if you look at it from his, if we could go to his high habitation in heaven and see what we're doing, we're just blowing bubbles down here. We take ourselves so serious. Oh, I'm building, I'm working out, you know. Blowing bubbles. God's doing the fighting. God's doing all the serious stuff. He's taking all that stuff. Our yoke is easy. Our burden is light. He's got the hard job. Praise God for that. Us guys, we think we're all that. Yeah, I got to drag home that kill, you know. No way. The Lord just says, here's your daily bread. Okay, go out there and pick it up. Okay, good boy. Now go take it to your family. Okay, good job. Okay, put that check in the bank. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? He's doing it. We just put one foot in front of the other. We can't take ourselves too serious. Come on, we're blowing bubbles. Conclusion, we got some 3 points here. Well, before I get there, I want to say something here. Before we can build, we got to get to the foundation. Before you do any real work, you got to get to the foundation. The foundation's already been laid. And that's Jesus Christ. And the vision that I believe the Lord showed me, the way He showed it to me, is what I want to share with you. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 5-11. How did Jesus Christ lay the foundation? Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down that foundation when he laid down his life. Nobody forced him to lay down. Nobody took his life. He laid it down. He did that for us. Like a rose trampled on the ground, he took the fall and thought of me and thought of you above all. He laid that foundation for us. Let's go ahead and look at Revelation 20. 21. So concluding, number one, Jesus is coming back and we have work to do. God has work for you in 2006. He wants you to push that little lawnmower. He wants you to blow some bubbles this year. He doesn't laugh at us. He loves us. He gives us the work to do. But it's as simple as that. We give our kid a little lawnmower, toy lawnmower, blowing bubbles. Oh, good boy. All right. God asks us to push that lawnmower, blow those bubbles. Oh, good boy. Praise God. Good job. We get praise from Him. How funny is that? He loves you so much. He's got work for you to do. But it's just as easy as blowing bubbles. He's the one doing the fighting. He's the one doing everything. It's all about Jesus. So that's the one thing. Part of that blowing bubbles might be going out to Arizona this summer. If so, praise God. Maybe not. Just ask the Lord. Revelation 21. Let's get excited about the New Jerusalem. It's fun to read about our future. Let's look at our future, what our future holds. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming out, down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Praise God, we're not going to be there. Are all of you sure that you're not going to be there? We're going to give you a chance tonight to make that decision if you want to be there or not. Verse 9, the one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked to me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and width, or length, breadth, and height are equal. So it's like a huge cube, a huge volume. See, the earthly Jerusalem was 2D area. Now we're talking volume. We're going into another dimension. Heaven is going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome to be with the Lord. Check this out here. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. Now listen carefully here. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. And the 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. So we have a whole array of different colors in that foundation. And this is part of the vision that I want to share with you. I'm not trying to interpret the Bible or anything like that. I'm just trying to share with you what the Lord showed me. Jesus Christ laid down that foundation. He laid down his life. And just like the rainbow shows us a promise from God. Doesn't mean homosexuality. Forget that. That's something that these guys want to claim. No, the rainbow means that God will never flood the earth again. That's what that means. Forget those guys. Lord, rebuke them for trying to do that. But a rainbow is a beautiful thing. And it's something God wants to show us and remind us from generation to generation. He loves us so much. He's so beautiful. He's so awesome. Well, Jesus, I believe, is kind of like that rainbow in that the foundation that's described here in Revelation 21 is many different colors, kind of like a rainbow. And I believe this is I'm just sharing you with what the Lord showed me, that when we see that rainbow of color of the foundation, of all that beauty in the New Jerusalem, we're going to remember Jesus Christ in the foundation. We're going to remember that he laid down his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And I believe that when we look at that beautiful foundation, we're going to praise Jesus. We're going to praise God. So that's just my opinion, and that's just what I feel that the Lord showed me, and I'm really excited about that because it's beautiful. And we look at Scripture, it doesn't matter where we look, but we always see Jesus Christ. We always see him there. It just happens. So, first point, look for the work that God has for you. What kind of bubbles does God want you to blow? Ask him. Just like Pastor Joe talked about last Sunday. God wants to use you. Ask him, what are your gifts? What are your ministries? Find out if you don't know. Ask the Lord. It's exciting following him. There's a lot of neat stuff to do. 2, get excited about your future with Jesus Christ, with the Lord in heaven. There's awesome, awesome stuff waiting for us. How long ago did Jesus go to prepare a place for us? Almost 2,000 years ago. How awesome when we see the place that he prepared for us. It's exciting. But in the meantime, we're gonna blow our bubbles and do our work, right, you guys? 3, life is short. Life's a vapor, like it says in James. Jesus can come and get us at any time. So we kind of balance it out. Yeah, we want to be working. We want to work with our own hands. We want to lead a quiet life. But we don't want to say, oh, Lord, don't come back now. I still got to do this and I want to do that. And no way. God help us from being in that position. But we got to balance it out. We got to look for him coming. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, it says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So hopefully this is comforting to you right now. Jesus is coming back. And just like what we were reading in Nehemiah 4, there's a trumpeter. There's a trumpeter there. And he's going to rally us together. When you hear that trumpet, boom, you're going. When we hear that trumpet of God, we're going. So praise God for that. Lord, help us to be ready for that. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So are you sure you're going to heaven? Let's go ahead and bow our heads. I want you to raise your hand if you want me to pray for you, if you want a closer walk with the Lord. If you want to do some stuff, if you want the Lord to use you this year. God bless you, brother, back there. God bless you. The Lord bless you too. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you back there. God has heard your prayer. The Lord bless you. Lord God, I just thank you for these people that are here with a willing heart, Lord. You can do a lot, Lord. You can do so much more than we can imagine. We just need that willingness of heart. I thank you, Lord, that you made it so easy for us, that you did all the work. You took the fall and thought of me above all, God. You laid down your life for me. Thank you, Father. Just ask, Lord, that you would answer these prayers, God, that you would draw these people close to you. They've drawn near to you, Lord. Please draw near to them. And give them an exciting hope for 2006. God, you are pouring out your spirit, and it's sweet. There's people coming to you every day. There's people that are in lands that are considered burned out mission fields that are excited for you, Jesus, and they're fired up and they're accepting you. Lord, I really feel like you're doing some exciting stuff in these last times, Lord, and you want us. You're inviting us. You have invited us to take part in that. And we're excited to do that work with you, Lord. Even if it might look to you like we're pushing a little toy lawnmower and blowing bubbles. Thank you, Father, for that. Raise your hand if you know if you're going to heaven. If you're certain that you're going to heaven. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Lord God, I thank you so much, God, for these folks. I just pray, Lord, right now that you just hear their prayer, Lord. Hear their prayer. thank you, Lord, for that. Just pray that you just continue to bless this evening, God, and the fellowship as it just kind of spills out and overflows, Lord, that you would just meet us all in a personal way here tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Could I get Pastor Gary to come up? And Brother Cheyenne, could you come up? I want to invite all of you guys, if you made a decision for Jesus Christ, if you want to have more prayer, good. These brothers will pray for you. If you need any prayer at all, don't be afraid to ask. Ask and you shall receive. So, anyway, thanks for putting up with my bloody nose and sorry about that. So, the Lord bless you as you go on your way. The Lord use you this week and do some exciting stuff with you and reveal himself to you as you stay in the word and in prayer and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.